So Moza Bekas Pater comes up. Here, right? Ayin Dalet Amud Beis and Ayin Hey Amud Aleph. And the Sigis kind of broke it up into two parts, right? First you have the Gemara tells us that Rav says Moza Beknas the Acharkach Bo Edim is Pater, which is a little bit surprising, right? Because so it's one thing to tell me Moza Beknas Pater means I don't have the halacha of Hodas Baldin Kamei Edim Dami. Right, but to tell me that even if witnesses subsequently show up, to still the guy is still pater, right? So that makes it sound like Moza Beknas Pater is not just an absence of chiyuv, but somehow it actually immunizes the defendant from having to pay, right? Which is kind of strange. And the Gemara says, right? Gemara asks, where does this come from? The Gemara gives a drasha. Right, imhimatse be'edim, right, that it must be through the means of witnesses that the chiyuv is happening, right. Now there's another pasuk which says asher yarshiyun Elohim, right, prat lemarshia es atzma. Pasuk says that the judges, right, so last year Elohim are the judges, so the judges have to be have to convict the defendant, right, and so if he convicts himself, he's going to be pater, right? This sounds like it's counter to common reasoning. That's why we have to have it come from a gzer sakasef. As we saw last year, right, only smuchin can adjudicate kenesos, right? The pasuk said, asher yarshiyun Elohim. Then at the end of the piece of Gemara that I gave to you guys, right, it goes on for like a daf or so, but there's a monkey wrench that's thrown in. Right, the Gemara seems to be going pretty strongly on the claim that right Moda B'Knas really is a poter, and the Gemara gives the really interesting story of Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua. Right, Rabban Gamliel is really happy that somehow knocked out Tevi's eye. Right, Tevi, who we know and love from Masachas Sukkah, right, sleeping under the bed. So the Gemara never really tells us, the great story of Rabban Gamliel and Tevi, how exactly Rabban Gamliel knocked out Tevi's eye. I was always kind of wondering what that story was. But however it happened, it was first from some accident, right? So now Rabban Gamliel is ecstatic that Tevi is going to go free, right? And Rabban Gamliel tells you, and Rabbi Yeshua tells him, not going to work because you were modeh, and modeh b'knas pater, right? So now Tevi is stuck. But Rav Hamnuna throws a monkey wrench into the sugya. Right, and that's like two-thirds of the way down, or three-quarters of the way down the narrow lines. And his lashon is a little bit important. Amar of Hamnuna, Mistavra Milse the Rav, Beomer Ganavti Ubo Edim Shaganav Pater. Shahare Chiv Atzmo Be Karen. Right, says Rav Hamnuna, the only time where we're going to activate Rav's halacha, that Moda Beknas, and then afterwards witnesses show up, we'll still ignore the witnesses, is the case of theft, right? Why, in the case of theft, is the hodah going to be taken seriously? Because he still makes himself chayiv in the keren, right? Aval amar lo ganavti, right? If he says I did not steal, ubo edim shaganav v'chazar v'amar tavachti u'macharti, right? So first he says I didn't steal, and then witnesses came and said he stole. And then he says, right, well, you're right, I actually did steal, and I also shechted or sold the cow, ubo edim shetabach umachar chayev, right? And then another set of witnesses come and say that he did shecht or steal. So we will not say moda beknas pater to get him out of dalad behay, right? We will listen to that second set of edim as well. Why? Why are we not going to say moda beknas pater? Shehare patar atzmo miklum, right? For after all, in his original claim, the defendant patterned himself from everything. Okay, so let's try to break this down quickly, and then we can get into some of the...
Rav Hamnuna's asking Akasha on
that. Rav Hamnuna's placing a serious limitation. Oh, a limitation. He's placing a limitation on Rav, right? Rav says, Modeh b'knas is pater even if witnesses show up subsequently. And Rav Hamnuna is placing a certain limitation on that radical halacha of Rav. So, two questions we have to ask. Number one, what exactly is Rav Hamnuna's position, and what is his source? And those two are going to be related. So the second question is easy to answer. Right, what's Rav Hanuna's source?
Svara,
right? I'm Rav Hanuna, Mistavra Milsei the Rav. Right, so whatever Rav Hanuna is saying, right, remember, Rav has a Gzeiras HaKasav. So it's interesting that we see that Rav Hanuna thinks that even though Rav's halacha is based on Gzeiras HaKasav of Asher Yarshiyu and Elohim, right, nonetheless, that Gzeiras HaKasav is still subject to Svara. Okay, so now I would think that especially if you're dealing with a halacha that's grounded in Gzeiras HaKasav, so when I limit it based on Svara, I would think it has to be a compelling Svara, right? Like it has to, you know, what could work as a Svara in a normal situation, I probably would think I need like a more obvious Svara in a Gzeiras HaKasav situation, just if I was a betting man. What's his Svara?
I mean, it seems like the second Hoda'a already comes after there's some Edom on the scene.
Yeah, right, let's reconstruct the case, right? So he's accused of theft. He denies it. He's convicted of theft. And then he says, well, you know, I'm Moda to the Dalve. So why is he being Moda to the Dalve?
He just wants to be mouth to himself of it.
Right. So we could take Rav Hanuna in a more minimalist approach, and we could say, right, that since he lied the first time, right, you'd emphasize this last line, Hari Patar Atzo Miklum, since he lied the first time, so that makes it obvious that when he makes an admission the second time around, he's only doing so to, you know, to kind of take advantage of the rules of Moda Biknas Patar, right, so he's taking advantage of a freebie. There's a more maximalist way you could interpret, and if that's the case, then Rav Hanuna's limitation is only going to be true if there was an initial denial followed by a subsequent admission, right? First he denies the Gneva, and then he admits to the Dalve. You could also interpret Rav Hanuna more broadly. And just take a step back and think about the institution of Moda B'Knas Pater in general. Especially in light of Rav's chiddush, that this is like an automatic poter.
A poter from what? Poter of?
If you admit to a knas, you will never have to pay it, even if witnesses subsequently show up.
The knas, and not the kefil. The knas itself, according to Rav.
You mean the karen?
The karen side.
Right.
Well,
right. Let's dramatize the case. I see Adim, right? I see the Adim, you know, going to Bezdin. Right, and it's like a heist, you know, it's like a action movie scene, right? So I sprint to the court so I can get in my hoda before the witnesses show up.
Well, it's sort of saying that according to Rav Hanuna, you wouldn't pay the karen.
Yeah, of course he's going to pay the karen, right?
Hoda's
balden kmei
dam. According to Rav, you're not paying the karen.
No, you're not paying the knas.
Oh, you're not paying the knas.
Could there be a limitation on the ability to make multiple hodas?
Yeah, well, that would be the more limited way of understanding Rav Hanuna.
Right,
is that
you made a hoda, then like you've had your say, nothing more you say is irrelevant.
Right, there aren't multiple hodot here, right? There's an initial denial.
Like the Chazar v'Amar, like.
Where's the Chazar v'Amar?
Yeah,
right. So he right there's an initial denial, right? Amar lo ganavti. And then that gets blown out of the water, and then he tries to make an admission.
Then somebody's coming back, just like he's retracting.
Sort of, right? First he said, I never stole anything, and then he, after they expose him as a thief, he says, you're right, I was a thief, and I was and I shechted the cow.
So you can sort of explain like how Sagos arrived and say that, then in who is Mechaibi for the carrot?
Okay, so let's not get to that point yet, but I'll bring it in 1 second. Just focus on like what's the position of Hanuna before we get to why he would say
that.
If we took him more maximum,
if you're a Moda, then you sort of like clear yourself of all the. If you're a Moda originally the Karen, then you seem to rid yourself of all like the other guilt related to it. Then you shouldn't have a Kanas. The Chalal. promoted the original
action. Okay, but like more obvious than that. Like based in common sense. Like the first thing you would think of when you learn the halakha of moda b'knas pater. Right? Think yourself back to the day when you were young and innocent and you first learned about moda b'knas pater. So what would your immediate reaction probably have been?
Because he already admitted guilt, but here he initially denied guilt, but admitted guilt after he was already proven guilty.
He doesn't want people to just be using this to like get he's, out of like things. If you're mechayev yourself for something else, then obviously you're not just doing this to
he's
get yourself out.
Seeking,
exactly.
Yeah, it's sort of like a migo to be here. He's clearly seeking, you know, immunity.
Yeah, the connection, right? That's the question with migo is like once people know about migo, then doesn't, you know, shouldn't everybody always take advantage of migo? And that's one of the proofs that migo is not a bearer, but it's a kalach hatayna, right? That's one of that famous question. It's just a right that you have as a party in a suit. And the best proof for that is that otherwise it makes no sense. But exactly, just Lisa was saying, right? So, moda b'knas pater, it comes from a pasuk, because if I didn't have it, I would not have thought that was the case. It makes it very easy for defendants to totally take advantage of the entire system, right? So, especially, it would be one thing if we just said that moda b'knas pater was an absence of hodas baldin kamei eid and dami, right? That you're not machayev yourself when you make an admission. But once Rav is telling us that in fact the hoda is a poter, right? So that creates potentially explosive situation and an area where you can take advantage. So maybe Rav Hamnuna, if we interpret him more broadly, he's saying, right, we have to seriously rash it down. Rav's chiddush, right? Mistavra. I can only stomach the idea that Rav is pitching to me when he's not fully taking advantage through his hoda. How do I know that he's not taking advantage of moda b'knas pater through his hoda? Exactly, right? Because there is a downside to him,
yeah,
right? He stole, right? So does Rav Hamnuna require what you'd call a hoda hamechayeves, right? That the only situation where we'll say moda b'knas pater is where you in fact incur a conviction, I guess, right? The obligation to pay as a result of your hada. Or is Rav Hamnuna only saying, you know, in the most radical case, what we're gonna let the guy, okay, moda b'knas pater, that's gzeiras hakasav, and in achanami it lets the defendant manipulate the system, you know, take advantage of the system normally. But there is a breaking point, right? That if he denied initially, and then he comes back, right? So that's already pushed. That's a bridge too far, and that's where Rav Hamnuna is going to disagree, right? Those are kind of two. But there's no idea that I need a hoda hamechayeves, right? You can't deny everything and then come crawling back after the witnesses have already convicted you of half of the payment. And come back now and try to pater yourself from the rest, right? It's obvious why this guy is making the admission in that case. Okay, nafka mina?
I mean, clearly the case under discussion. If my hoda has no implications upon whether, like, if there are also edim available to testify, maybe, like, there's no implications upon. There's no implications for me being found guilty or not. I guess that more clearly.
What do you mean?
No, like, it's clearly if you're only pater because as some sort of like reward for turning yourself in, but if you're not, if you're already going to be caught, then I mean, it's a basic case we're just saying. I'm not really saying anything new.
Yeah, pretty much any case where you. Or not chayav the parent himself, but you have now come to try to be mafter any form of knas, and that would be a case.
Right, exactly. Where you straight up make a hoda to a knas, and there is no karen involved. Will it be a case like that?
Well, this one, I think.
Which one's this one?
The specific one by Rav Hamnuna.
There's karen involved.
No, not karen involved. You.
I'm admitting that I stole.
No Karen Bechalal.
Yeah, a case where a guy makes an the first moment of legal activity here, right? Bezdin is sitting around minding their business. The first activity that happens is the Baldin comes in and is moda to a pure Knas with
so
no
current. If you remote say laws.
Okay, good. Let's have this way. Can we find another case other than theft? Can we think of another case that fits Rafam Nuna's exact paradigm where you're moda to both Karen and Knas?
Any case
where you do something which incurs both a chiyuv of Karen and a chiyuv of Knas. Yeah, other than the Zikin. Right.
Well, maybe the Tavi situation?
What's the Karen? That's a great question, because what's the Karen in the Tavi situation?
Karen. Knas is letting him go free, but Karen maybe would be paying him for the damage.
Medical bill.
So
you don't pay for that.
Yeah,
because he's yours.
Pure Knas, that case.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, this is basically the only case, right? Almost all cases of Knasos are cases where the Hoda is just to a pure Knas, right? It is the exception to have Karen, to have Mammon and Knas blended together. So if we're going to take the more ambitious understanding of Rav Hamnuna, right, then you're going to kind of wipe Modeh B'Knas Pater off the books almost, right, or at least wipe Rav's Modeh B'Knas Yachar Kach Bo Edom off of the books, because most Knessos don't have Karen involved, don't have Imamon involved. And that's exactly what was bothering that very long Mishnah Malach. Because Mishnah Malach was assuming that Rav Hamnuna only recognizes a Hoda'a HaMechayeves, and therefore if there's no Mamon, you're out. And so that's why he was bothered. How come in Hilchos Shvuos, all of a sudden the Rambam is talking about Modeh B'Knas Pater in a general sense? The answer probably is that who says that the Rambam thinks that Rav Hamnuna requires a Hoda'a HaMechayeves? Maybe Rav Hamnuna only doesn't allow you to be Modeh after you denied the initial charge. Okay, so now we can use this to kind of take a step out and get into how Knessos work in general. So we have two ways of understanding Rav Hamnuna. One is that Rav Hamnuna is really limiting Rav, right? And he says, unless you have a Hoda'a HaMechayeves, we're not going to say Modeh B'Knas Pater after Edom showed up, right? Which kind of demonstrates major discomfort with Rav's Shita, right? As we said, Rav is a Gzeiras HaKasev, so to dramatically restrict that Gzeiras HaKasev based on a Svara, right, that I think probably tells you, right, that this doesn't rest easy with us, right? This is a chok, it's a gzeiras hakasuv, and we're going to limit it where we can. If we take a more limited Rav Hamnuna, then you're not under that much pressure, as much pressure to say that, right? Because we're still leaving Rav with a massive chiddush. We're still saying that, right, in the case where most knasos, right, ones v'fatim, it's a shemra, right, all those cases from last year. The guy sees the witnesses coming to Bezdin. He sprints to pass them in the fast lane, get to the court first, and admit. Nonetheless, he's gonna be pater, right? He can't pater himself if he made an initial denial. So that demonstrates more of a comfort factor with Rav's halacha, right? That maybe Rav's halacha is not totally out of left field, like a shocking, scandalous chok. Okay, so that then opens the question: why would I think that Rav's halacha is a total chok, or why would I think that Rav's halacha makes more sense? And this gets to the fundamentals of how we view Knessos. So I know you were actually going in this direction, I think so.
So I thought that Hatzakas Rav was more along the lines of Rav Hamnuna.
Which Rav Hamnuna?
One at the end. He's more extrapolation of Rav Hamnuna's limitation than it was of in general. It's even more confusing.
So you thought that was the right... Okay, yeah, that's...
It could be, because I did them all very quickly at the same time.
Okay. So the question that you always want, like everyone asks with Knessos, which ties in here as well, is, right, a Knessos is a funny chiyuv, right? Because, why is a Knessos a funny chiyuv?
Because...
What differentiates Knessos from Mammon in terms of the Machayev? In terms of what generates the obligation to pay?
You Machayev something from which was nothing was actually damaged or occurred.
Exactly, right? Mammon is compensation, right? Which makes sense if I could pro quo. If I do something to damage, right, then I have to compensate. Knessos are not damages. It's not compensation. I don't seem to owe anything in the same sense, right? Knessos is a penalty. Right, it's above and beyond, usually at least, above and beyond what I owe. Okay, so what makes me chayev in Knessos? Who makes me chayev in Knessos?
The one who makes the chayev from Karen.
So maybe it's the court, and maybe it's the perpetrator. Right. In other words, maybe we say, well, there's now law on the books, right? And so when you steal, just like your theft made you owe the payment of Karen, okay, the Torah now is Menachadesh that it makes you owe the penalty of Kefal. Right? Alternatively, we say no. You generate your compensatory obligations, and the Bezdin generates the penalizing obligations. They're coming from two totally different sources. Okay. Now, if I think that the Bezdin is who obligates me in the Knas, I don't owe the Knas until Bezdin issues its psak. So is that going to make me more or less comfortable with Rav's halacha that Moda B'Knas is a poter?
If you think that Bezdin is the one who creates it?
Yeah.
Less comfortable with it unless you go by the ensuing conversation like Mara says that you need Bacon to be there.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
After Rob says that, then we have the whole story with Rabban Gamliel and Tevi and the consensus there is that if you were Moda outside of Bacon, then you're not Pater
for right. Anything. Right. Hoda outside of Bezdin has no legal status.
Right, so that it complicates Rob's blanket statement that
Moda B'Knas,
you know, is that?
Yeah, in other words, right, because Moda B'Knas Yachachach Bo Edim is Pater, but Moda B'Knas must be in front of the court.
Yeah.
Okay, so if the court is who generates the obligation, you are less comfortable with the idea that Moda B'Knas V'Achar Kach Bo Edim Pater than if the action is what created the obligation to pay.
I don't personally think it would be.
Okay. Why would we be less comfortable? I'm just trying to...
Wait, can you repeat that? Okay,
I'm confused.
If you...
Well,
can you repeat?
Okay, so mammon penalties, mammon obligations are created, mammon debts are created by the criminal.
Yes.
Right?
Sure.
Okay. You know, you steal, you pay. You damage, you pay. The Bezdin is just serving to enforce what you already owe.
Mm-hmm.
Knessos, perhaps it's the same idea. Even though you don't owe it in the sense of I didn't, you know, take that money from you, but there's a law on the books, right? That you, if you do crime X, you pay Y, right? If you hit someone's eved, you pay 30 shekel. If you rape a nara, you pay 50 shekel, right? Those are just the crimes on the crimes on the books, right? So even though the damage may be more, maybe less. That's just the law, right? So the crime creates the payment. Or is it the beaten that creates the payment, right? There's no owing. Nobody owes anything. There's an obligation created by the court to pay, right? So now Rav tells me that if I come to court and I make an admission, I am going to always be pater, because the pasuk said, "Arsher yarshiu en Elohim prat lemarshia es atzmo." Right, that the court has to convict me; I cannot convict myself. So, which model of knessos will be more comfortable with the idea that the court must convict me, and if I convict myself, I'm pater?
Neither. I don't think it's related.
Okay.
Just because, also because, like, self-conviction isn't...
Could be right,
okay. What?
I said, this is just me talking, so you totally could be right.
What?
I said, you totally could be right.
Oh, I don't know, but probably not. But, like, it's not just a problem for Knesset.
What's not just a problem for Knesset?
Yeah,
Inna
Dina Siyotzma
Rasha. Right, so you can't... But on the other hand, Hadas Baldin Kimea Edim Dami, right? If you admit to something that you have to pay, that will work. And you ain't have to make some amounts of Russia, right? So if somebody comes in and says that I, I'm apostle for testimony because I'm a habitual dice player, right? And then Edom walk into Bezdin and say,
it's not that you invalidated yourself for life. This is a different status.
Right, exactly.
But nonetheless, like, given that there's a similar concept with that, like...
But that's the huge innovation of Rav, right? That Rav has gone far beyond the limitations of what you can do to yourself. Rav is now saying that you can pater yourself.
Okay, so you being able to pater yourself from... That would indicate that it's from Beit Din.
Right, it probably would.
Why?
Because if the court... If there's no chiyuv until the Beis Din makes a chiyuv, so then we can say that there's no... Oh, there's no chiyuv till the Beis Din makes a chiyuv, and the Beis Din can't make a chiyuv if you preempt them. The Beis Din has to create the chiyuv, right? Asher Yarshiu en Elohim, they have to create the chiyuv. It's not just that they make the chiyuv; you just take it one step further and say they have to create the chiyuv.
Why is your hoda'a invalidating that creation?
So that there is a chiddush, right? There is a gzeiras hakasuv.
Yeah.
But it's a smaller leap to say, okay, right? We know that Beis Din creates the chiyuv. And now Rav's halacha of Asher Yarshiu en Elohim teaches me that they have to be first on the scene, right? And if you come in and say it first, that's not considered them creating the chiyuv. That's a chiddush for sure, right? And Rav needs
Gzeiras
HaKasuv.
Yeah.
But it's not, and maybe that's what you're talking about.
So
neither.
Because there's Gzeiras HaKasuv, then we don't need to actually understand why that makes any sense. Like, how, like, why would that?
It's less of a chiddush. Yeah.
Yeah, fine. Okay.
Rather than saying that I view knessos as an owed payment, just like any other mammon, but there's a halacha that if you go in and make the admission, you're pater. That's also a chiddush. It's a bigger one, right? I would be, if I came in with a conception of knessos that was owing based, I would be much more desirous to limit Rav's chiddush, right? No, Rav was only making his chiddush when you also are making yourself chayiv and karen, right? Which is like 5% of knessos. But in general, right? And we'll say it because that's like a halacha that you need a hodah hamechayev. If I have a hodah which is machayev me, right? So good news, bad news, right? The bad news is you have to pay karen. The good news is this will allow you to pater yourself from the knas. It even makes sense. Or you think like the American legal system, right? So people make deals like this all the time, right? If you cop to X, mm-hmm. right? So then we'll let you off a Y, right?
Yeah, I'm thinking where people come to settlements without admitting, but they come to a settlement, a final settlement, without actually admitting guilt. They can make a distinction between the knas versus... The knas versus just the money that I, versus just the karen itself, has implications for my guilt. That in terms of anon, first of all, in terms of the anon, semi that's a rush or whatever it is, that could be that I'm not implying that owing money doesn't imply that I'm a rush, but implying that I'm subject to a knas does imply that I'm a bad person or something.
I suppose, although in our.
I'm saying in terms of rush, unless it's being owing someone money more as like a character judgment.
Right. I mean, he is admitting that he's a thief. Right. And a thief is
bad person.
That's a classic Russia, right? Eid Hamas, right? The thief is, I think, the beginning of the year, I think. Right. So, and if some, look, unless someone walks in and admits to being a Gazlan, where there's no Knas, so he will not be Pasal Eidus, because it's just coming from him, but he will be Chayav to pay back, because a Gazlan has to compensate. So you're half right. Like, he's admitting guilt. His admission of guilt will not make him, you know, will not ruin his cheskas kashrus as a person, even as it will obligate him to pay. So right, there is that split in terms of admission of guilt vis-a-vis payment and admission of guilt vis-a-vis personal status. Right, but just to come, so you see what I mean about being more comfortable. Modu b'kanas pater is a halacha they are pretty happy about, if you think that that kanasos really are bezdin generate. Right? That's like, you know, Rav's chiddush, it's almost like a proof. Right? Like, it would be way too big a chiddush for Rav to say that mode b'knas v'acharkach bo edim pater, if kanasos have nothing to do with the courts, right? And the other side could say, yeah, and that's why we're going to seriously limit Rav. We're only going to say that Rav is true when there's also an admission of Karen involved. And you could say that makes sense because we're trying to get you to admit to your Karen owing. And at least there, it's a real genuine hodah. You're not taking advantage of the system because you are incurring payment. Okay, fine. So two just like big issues that I would want to get to. So there are actually three. And let's do the Makaros totally out of order. Take a look at the Rambam in Gneva Beis Yedbeis. This is the Machlokas that like everybody quotes when they talk about this issue. Mm-hmm. Right, so the Rambam here is talking about a number of cases where it is a safek whether you owe dal behei or not. Right, because there's something funky about your mechira. Right. So, for right, what are the cases? You steal it, but then you chop off a leg before you sell it, right? So I didn't sell the entire animal that I stole, right? As we've seen, there's a complicated relationship between the kefel and the dalad behe. So I the cow is now one leg minus when it was stolen. Or I sell it with limitations, right? I sell it, but the buyer does not have the rights to do work with it. Right, so you know, like in Gittin, right? So the major principle of how a get works, right, is that we require krisis, right? That if there's not a total disconnect between the man and the woman, it's not a valid get. Mm-hmm. So what about this case where the guy sells it, but there's not a total disconnect, right? Because the buyer cannot use it for certain purposes, right? If someone says Haret Migurash es la kol chutz miploni, right, you can't marry so and so, that's an invalid get. What if I say you can buy the cow, but you can't use it to work the field? Is that an invalid sale for purposes of dalad behei? Or what if you say it's yours, but it's not going to be yours for the next 30 days? It's the cow is mine for the next 30 days. Is that a valid sale or not? It's a safek. Right, so what is the Rambam rule? Since it's a safek, so we can't the Bezdin can't make you pay dal behei because hamotzi michavero alav haraya. But what can the plaintiff do?
He could just take it,
mm-hmm. Right? Because now we'll flip the chazaka. Right now it's hamotzi michavero alav haraya in the other direction, and the thief has to prove that he should not have to pay this knas, right? So that's the Rambam. I have a safek, so it just depends whose possession the money is in. If it's in the possession of the thief, the Bezdin cannot take it from the thief. And if the plaintiff grabbed it and did tfisa, we're not going to take it from him either. Makes a lot of sense. Right? Rambam's position makes a lot of sense. I understand what he's saying. What does the Ravid say? Ravid's very upset. That doesn't make any sense. Why? Why shouldn't tfisa work here? It's a safek. In general, tfisa works for sfeikos and mamon.
Because So it is understanding the thesis that there has to be some idea of there theoretically being some kochim based and to be mechayev the other guy for it. But the situation is, since there is no idea of there being a kochim based and to be mechayev him, his defiso shouldn't work.
Right. Knas requires definitive psak of Bezdin. So, talking about tfisa, because, well, there's a suffix, who the money should go to, maybe it goes to me, maybe it goes to you, so if the thief holds on to it, he keeps it, but if the plaintiff grabs it, then he gets to keep it. The Ravitz says that doesn't make any sense, because in the absence of a psak din from Bezdin, nobody owes anything, right? The only suffix is whether, right, we have a suffix whether Bezdin can convict the guy or not. We do not have a suffix, does he owe him the money or not? Because he definitely does not owe him the money until Bezdin issues their psak, right? We have a suffix if Bezdin can make a psak or not. But prior to the psak, he vadai owes him zero money, right? So you see clearly, right, the Rambam and the Rabbi breaking down on this exact point, that the Rambam thinks that knesos indeed are debts, right? Seems to think that knesos are debts, while the Ravid thinks no, right? Knesos are only generated by the Bezdin, and prior to the Bezdin showing up, you definitely don't owe anything.
But along the lines that we just said, you could, right? Along the lines that we said previously, in terms of we're just flipping the Chazaka now, you could say that the Ravid and the Rambam could agree on that point of how you view Knas in general.
We could say the Rambam and the Ravid agree in how you view Knas in general.
They could agree on how you view Knas in general, but the difference here is
maybe. Right, meaning they both view it.
On what do we?
They both view it as being generated by the court. You mean?
They both view it as being generated by the court. Yes.
Right, because the Ravid, you have to say that.
What
right?
type of things can you be tofes? Right, can you be tofes only things that are empirically that are clearly empirically yours in the outset? For instance, like just the karen itself. Like if you're tofes the karen before you go to court, then you keep the karen. Or are you going to be tofes things which the court has ruled on? In this situation, you say it goes either way around.
You could say like I would be very happy for the Rambam to think like the Ravid. Mm-hmm. Maybe you could say that since it's potentially, since the court could potentially convict him, he has the right to a face. I don't know. You're right. You'd have to kind of analyze all the halachos of Tisa, which the Shach wrote a whole book on. Right? Mm-hmm. So we're not gonna. Yeah. So let's not take a firm position on the Rambam. You're right, but I think we can take a firm position on the Ravid. Mm-hmm. Right. The Ravid thinks that the court generates the knas. Okay, now there's one seeming proof for one of these two sides, but I don't think it has to be a proof per se. And that was what we had at the very end of the course. Nowadays, there are no batei din with smicha, right? So if you you stole, right? So you did gneva. And I feel bad, and I want to do full tshuva. I want to fully atone for my error. So how much should I pay?
Just the Karen.
Just the Karen. So one option is I just pay the Karen.
Or let go.
Yeah, maybe. Why would I, in order to fully do tshuva, why would I have to do both? There's a possible star there. We tease it out. Okay. If I steal and there are no witnesses, right? So can the Bezdin make me pay? If I want to be in good standing on Yom Kippur, do I have to pay? Yeah, right? For sure. Right? There is a difference between what Bezdin can make you pay, and what Hashem wants you to pay. So, does Hashem want you to pay knesos, even though you can get yourself out of them?
Well, it's getting very metaphysical.
Yeah, exactly. Let's say Sidei Shamayim, right? To escape what you owe according to heaven, not just what you owe according to the court. So, what do we think?
All right, so this goes back to whether Knas is like, whether you create the need for Knas or the Knas is just something invented by the Beit Din.
That's what I would think, right?
Yeah, so like if you think that the Beit Din is what's Mechayev you Knas, then maybe Hashem doesn't really care if you fight it, because like it's just the Beit Din that's making it up.
Exactly, right? If it's exclusively generated by the Beit Din, then there's certainly, we will not say, right, if someone who wanted to pay the kefal, we'd call him a chassid shota. Right, we'd say that you're paying that does not reflect your piety, it reflects your ignorance. Okay. Now, the Rashba here says that there is no chiyav latzei sidei shamayim. The Ketzos says that there is no chiyav latzei sidei shamayim. Right, and the Ketzos explains that's because Knesos are generated by Beis Din. Right, Asher Yashin Elohim means that there's no obligation there's no Yom Kippur obligation, and the Rashba quotes the Yerushalmi, which seems to say explicitly that there is no Chiyav Latzei Sidei Shamayim for Knesos. So now the question really becomes: can we say that Knesos are not generated by the Beis Din? But that there is no chiyav latzei sidei shamayim. Can we say that? You understand the question?
They're not generated by the Beis Din,
right? Against the Ravid. But you do not have a religious obligation to pay kenasos that you can get out of because there's no Beis Din, let's say. In the same way that I certainly have a religious obligation to pay monetary damage, even though I may not be able to be convicted by it.
You do have a religious obligation to pay the knas.
No. There's no religious obligation to pay the knas.
Yeah.
But the knas is not generated by Beis Din.
So where
is can I say knas? Both of those two things? Okay. I better be able to, because there seems to be pretty serious proofs that there is no chiyav latzei sidei shamayim for knasos.
Well, yeah, but yeah.
How?
Meaning no, but in order for that to be so, then you can't say that. And there's no if there's no fee of the say the Shemayim.
Yeah.
And obviously it's generated by the
which court. Let's assume is a constant.
What?
Well, the problem is let's assume is a constant. So, Rashba has a Yerushalmi.
Okay.
Right. So does that pack it in? Right. Anybody on the other side is wrong. And
so, what exactly is Yerushalmi? Yerushalmi says
I didn't quote it here because like it was. It was Yerushalmi, and there was enough here, and I figured we were getting up to this anyway. But just take my word for it. He's got a good Yerushalmi. I don't know of anybody who says that there is a chiyav latzei sidei shamayim.
Yeah. So if you're saying we're saying there is no chiyav.
You could walk in on Yom Kippur not having paid knesos with your head held high.
So then obviously it's generated by the court.
So why? We don't want to say
because
that.
Because if there is a chiyuv, then if there would be, if it's generated by anywhere else, where would it be generated by? If you want to say it's generated when you steal the object at the very onset, I wish you already prove is not the case. You're not chiyuv on, you're not necessarily chiyuv in the cave or the talabahay once you first steal the object.
Maybe you are.
Right? Well, okay. But assuming that you are, then that's clearly the shrine. And that's the only other way.
So that's the exact equation we have to break. Can the criminal incur his knas obligations, but not have a religious obligation to pay them back? That's where we want to get to. So I haven't seen anyone talk about this, but we need a svar to get there because otherwise there's a big problem.
You want to be able to say yes that you could have such a situation.
Yeah, we need to. We cannot leave this room until we have some svar to say that. Right. Let's just get the case clear. I steal. That incurs a karen, and that incurs a kefal. We want to say that the thief, just like the thief's theft has created his needing to pay the karen, his theft has also created the need to pay the kefal. In a world where there are no witnesses, he only has to discharge his religious obligations by paying karen, and he does not need to pay any kefal. Why would that be? Why would it be?
I'm confused. I don't think
I'm
getting the case.
Okay.
One more time.
Do you understand what Chiyuv Latzei Sidei Shamayim means?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So what's not clear?
I'm getting confused whether or not he's paying whether or not he has to pay the knas.
He does not have to pay the knas. If witnesses
saying,
don't show up, no knas. Maftir Yona, honor him at the shul dinner.
There's no knas, and it's not much heavy dish money. I'm very confused.
There's no knas, but the clue comes from him, not from Beijing.
Right, exactly.
How is it that he wouldn't have to pay it and be fine with dish money?
Exactly, that's the question.
So the, but.
Hmm.
I mean, you could say it. I don't know why this is complicated.
Okay.
Right? I mean, like, you could say even if the clue comes from him, the enforcement of it comes from Beijing, and, like, if they say you're fine, then you're fine. You know, like, even if it, like, it's still, like, the source of the clue might be here, but, like, in order to, like, concretize it, I don't know if that makes any sense.
It could, but why would Shamayim be restricted by
Shamayim's always restricted by Beijing. That's why if you do things...
No, it's not true.
As in, if you...
If there are no edim to the crime, so Bezdin can't make me pay, but I'd better pay if I want to be in good standing on the Day of Judgment.
Yeah, no.
Will Hashem be angry with me for not voluntarily paying the knas, which my crime created?
No.
Why?
Because.
So we got to get to.
Yeah, I mean, a knas is different.
It's got to be. How so? How so?
Well, I mean, knas. There's knas in general, like knasot as a. I'm sorry if I'm really off from what you're going for. But, like, knas is just, like, a... Like,
I know, I haven't seen anybody answer it, so...
Knas is a mechanism, bidet, like, that is... It just depends what your philosophy about knasot are and why you have knasot.
Okay.
And, like, are you... Like, whether knasot are outside the realm of, like, deen and mishpat that, like, Hashem cares about... Like, ultimately, or whether it's just they're just like a mechanism of like deterrence or something else that is like related to our practices on Earth right now, and like if then they're the latter, which I think there's room to
okay.
say.
I like where you're going.
Then it, like, okay, so you don't pay the knas, like that doesn't ultimately like affect the actual din that is. Relevant for in like the celestial sphere as well. I don't really know how to say that. Like knasot are relatively trivial, but like category, but not that they're like not in terms of scope.
This Evan wants to go free.
Not in terms of scope, but like it's not. It's not part of the, like, divine justice system in the same way.
Okay, so let me just throw in one ingredient, and let me see if that helps. Because I don't have it sharply either, but because it's like work this out together, I'll just throw in one thing which you could advance the point. If we turn to mammon for 1 second, so mammon is something that I owe. I stole your cow. And I now must give it back. I incurred a debt to you. I, you know, burned down your haystack, and I now owe you a haystack. So, can we contrast mammon, which is something that I owe, with knasos?
I think that was what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
But then that's confusing why giving up your slave is a... Whatever, this is what I was having trouble with yesterday, is like why having to let your slave go free would be in the category of knas then. Like, how is that a knas as opposed to a matter of, like, justice for this slave, you know?
Because...
I don't think the slave is people, but
No.
Like, you didn't expect for me that would be the real Knessos.
Because Knessos just means non-reciprocal payments. I knocked out his eye, right? Mammon is ayin tachas ayin, right? You do X, X happens to you instead. The Eved, I knocked out his eye, and now he goes free. Those are non-parallel, right? The punishment is not corresponding to the crime.
Mm-hmm.
Why do I owe him his freedom? Because I knocked out his eye, or because I knocked out his tooth, to take out a less graphic case. I don't owe him his freedom. I obviously owe him something.
There's only two models, then, of either owing someone or knas?
Let's say that.
Okay.
Let's keep that simple.
Fine.
So Mammon is a debt.
Fine.
I incur a debt. And in order to, even though the Bezdin, I can get off on a technicality, I'm not going to clear my account with God unless I pay my debts. Even if
so it's not a debt, thus you don't have to pay it.
So that's the question. It's that right. It's what is it though? It's something that my action obligates me to pay, but I don't owe him in the sense of I haven't taken from, I'm not repaying him anything. Right? Maybe that's the way to put it. Chivlas Yisrei Shemayim means repaying. You have to undo what you did. Right? That's what Chivlas Yisrei Shemayim is all about.
Part of that.
Right, there's no undoing when it comes to Knessos. You could have a, your action could create a need to pay, which the Bezdin can enforce, so this guy can be Toface, but Minashamayim, there's nothing for me to undo, right? So since it's Chiyah Blasa, Sidi Shamayim can be all about compensation, about undoing, paying my debts. Knessos, even if they're generated by me, it's not something that I owe, and therefore I'm clear with Shamayim, even though I never paid what my action the Torah says I have to. Is that?
It's sort of, yeah, that I...
Needs more metaphysical thought, but
yeah.
That's where we kind of have to...
I think we could, like, fit that into the right? Categories that I was using differently.
Yeah, that's what I was trying
I know,
to...
But, like, yeah, but, like, yeah, you can get there.
Okay. Okay, so we should stop, because you guys probably have to go. Just FYI, look at the Ravid and the Ramban, you'll see the Ravid kind of l'shitase from what he had. This Ravid in Ksuba, so you have kind of l'shitase to what he had in the Ramban. You have a really interesting machlokas which comes up, and was the last Ramban until they got rid of slavery. If you... Hoda... Moda v'achar kach bo edin. Right, if witnesses come and then you're moda, so you're done. What if instead of witnesses coming, you were toface? Right, toface v'acharach moda. Does that work or not? So the Ravid and the Ramban argue about that, and the major nafgamina is all case of avadim, because an avid is toface himself. So even nowadays, and this would have gotten us back to last year's discussion about the role of Sanhedrin or the lack thereof, but nowadays where there are no batidin. So do we say that you can an Eved can toface himself because he's kind of enforcing the knas? Or do we say that the even though courts cannot adjudicate knasos, if the slave owner would go to a regular hedyot bezdin, would that be considered a hodah to get him out? So that's a machlokas in the Shulchan Aruch, and we paskin that the slave has automatic
freedom.
Good.
What?
He goes free.
I have a question. We don't have to do or
yeah.
Kind of, or
yeah.
When you're making chicken on the bone, which I've never done before, do you have to...